Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Abby D. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 91 in the fourth paragraph, starting with When He Sees You Know All About, and reading through that one paragraph ending your mental inconsistencies with some of his. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. Our readers today are Chris W. for the 12 Steps, Anne Marie for the 12 Traditions, Tamara C. reading the text, and Kathy S. reading page 164 at the closing. Thank you to Lynn F., who is our backup reader. The reference number for Sunday, April 20th, 2025, for the special edition meeting is 22,361. That's 22361. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Thanks, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee. And here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks, Anne Marie.
Good morning. You're welcome. Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for reading our 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 91 in the fourth paragraph, starting when he sees you know all about, reading through one paragraph, ending your mental inconsistencies with some of his, and commenting on that one paragraph today. And I will now ask Tamara C. to begin reading. Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Abby. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. Okay, well, yeah, my sponsor knows all about the eating game. And this gave me hope that that I could get the recovery that she has. She knows about trying to stop. She knows about the mental twist from her personal experience. And she also knows about my disease, which leads me to the symptoms of compulsive overeating. She knows about the self-centeredness, the lies I tell myself, the fear, the harm, resentments. And she shares her truth and her recovery with me. And now I have the responsibility and the joy of sharing my truth and my recovery with others. My truth is that I am a compulsive overeater. And that means that I'm not a disgusting, repulsive person who has no self-respect or self-discipline. I've learned it means I am different. I'm different than normal eaters. I have an illness, and in the face of that, not understanding it, I was very brave and very determined and incredibly self-disciplined. And I couldn't not go back to the first compulsive bite. I couldn't will myself to eat right. I couldn't scare myself enough or shame myself enough or even love myself enough to eat the way a normal eater does. I prayed really hard. I worked the tools of the program really hard. I sacrificed. And over time, my eating got worse. And I was eating food I didn't like and didn't want. I was chasing an effect so desperately. I couldn't stop obsessing about food. I was miserable, scared, and in pain. So I too know the eating game. And I didn't understand why I couldn't manage food the same as those around me. I know about the mental twist. I stayed on food plans and lost weight and then threw away all that hard work for some insane idea that I could eat like normal people, that I could control and enjoy my eating. So this paragraph instructs me to share this experience and create space for the person I'm trying to help to share their own experience with me. And hopefully, you know, in the same way that I had hope that this could work for me the way it worked for my sponsor, you know, and my prayer is that others, through hearing my experience and being able to share theirs, they have this same hope and are willing to go through the steps and find this spiritual solution. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Tamara C., for getting us started today. Appreciate that. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Tony B.
Lisa N.
Sarah G.
All right.
Ashley F.
All right. I have Lisa B., Tony B., Lisa N., Sarah G., Ashley F. Anybody else? All right, we'll start with those five. Let's start with Lisa B. followed by Tony N. Lisa B. followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina. This is such a powerful reading and it was a beautiful lead share. Either they will identify in or they won't. You know, I need to have some credibility when working with newcomers. And I tell them about my experience that I didn't have willpower with this area in food, but I had willpower in other areas. And it's in sharing my experience, you know, in sharing, in light of our experience, we recover. That's what we do. And it's my thinking. I tell them that it's my thinking that comes in before I ever even pick up the food. And I tell them how baffled I was. The insanity, I understand the insanity so well, how I could get set off by an ingredient. And then days later, days later, I could have a crazy binge and with no pleasure in it other than that first 1 second and just go, go, go in the food, just out of control. And everything I have today is because of my higher power. It's because of the change that's happened and the power that I've been able to tap into, my higher power. And I share with them the cunning, baffling nature of this disease, that the binging, the restricting, the obsessing about diet and exercise, my overeating. And then that seemed like the only normal life to me. You know, I thought that was normal, but I kept it secret. And then when I heard other people share, it was just wonderful to hear that other people did what I did, but yet they were recovered. And I share about the progression. What I used to be able to do with food 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, I could never do now. And I share about the mental anguish, the spiritual pain, the physical suffering, and that even knowing how horrible I was suffering, that wasn't enough. And that the mental twist is so insidious, thinking that this time it will be different. But when I got to the place with honesty in my innermost self, admitting this and seeking a power with these beautiful 12 steps, and now being recovered, I don't suffer with food anymore like that. And it's not about convincing them. I just share what I was like, giving an account of my insanity, and either they'll identify in or not. I was comforted when my sponsor shared with me about her experience. Because I could see she wasn't like that anymore. She was different. Something had happened. And I could tell she was doing it happily now, that there wasn't the obsession. So I'm grateful to be here. And I spell my name L-E-S-A, and I welcome calls. Thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Lisa B. from South Carolina. All right, next up we have Tony B. followed by Lisa N. Tony, go right ahead.
Good morning, Abby. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Thank you to Camera for your lead share and the share I just heard. It's been an amazing meeting already. I guess my sponsees generally will know that I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I'm in OA. I'm mostly getting my sponsees, in the rooms already. But this sense that this hopelessness of the condition, this driving home that I'm a real compulsive overeater. I really have this disease. It left me baffled. I've had all my struggles and I am doomed, but for spiritual help. And it's okay for me to declare that and say, you know, how many attempts I made and how without help, I just couldn't do it. And the mental twist would always take me back. No matter how long I went without compulsively overeating, no matter how much willpower I thought I had and could bring to bear, no matter how much understanding and intellectual knowledge I had, I would always pick up again if I didn't have this spiritual solution and I'm not working the steps which keep that spiritual condition fit. And particularly with others, working with others, and I do stress that right at the beginning of working with others. But yes, it's okay to declare that I'm doomed because I have a solution. I am powerless. I have absolutely no defense. And you know, it is useful to go to the chapter on alcoholism. Of course, I will read this with my sponsees. And particularly the Fred story, you know, they pile, and here on page 42, they piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality such as I had exhibited in Washington was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Utter defeat, and my defense must come from a higher power. It must come from community. It must come from God that works in community. I must be connected with my fellows and working with others and making it the central fact of my life. That's all I have to share. It's just a wonderful privilege to be on this meeting and listen to everybody. And I love you all very much. Bye for now.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Next up, we have Lisa N. followed by Sarah G. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service today and everybody who's been sharing so far and doing service. I appreciate you so much. Lisa Ann from Wisconsin, and very grateful to be a compulsive overeater. And the reason I am is because I have experience in it, and I've been given strength by a higher power, and hope is the result now that I have because of that. And that's what I meant to share with people who have had this disease or who experience this disease, who are suffering from this disease. And I had to do it all wrong. I had to do it like Bill and pull people off the bar stool and whatever. I had to make all kinds of mistakes in the way that I sponsored people. And it didn't work with the big book for the first many years in this program. It's just been since I've been on Vision for You, say about 5 years, that I learned about the importance of working the steps with people using the big book. And so I've had to learn the hard way, quite honestly, but it's okay because what I learned is compassion through this for my higher power. My higher power wants to learn not just techniques, but compassion for the suffering compulsive overeater, because I could be the one that could help them, because I knew, I understood. So by telling them my story, telling them my experience and where I got my strength and hope from, that was going to make all the difference. And it's such a simple thing, but I really needed a higher power to teach me that. And really, the people I've learned from, my goodness, more of the people that were sick than recovered almost. But I'm so grateful. Thank you very much for letting me share, and have a good day, everybody.
From Wisconsin, next up we have Sarah G, followed by Ashley S. Sarah, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Sarah G from New York. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm so
Sarah, it's a little quiet. Can you either get closer to the phone or just speak up a little bit?
Is this better?
That is better, yes.
Yeah, okay, fine. Thank you so much. So I just, everyone's shares were so wonderful, and I just want to piggyback off of the first share. And it's true, you know, I'm not a terrible person for this. I do have a disease. And as my sponsor says, you know, we have the same DNA, and all of us do, based on the disease that we have. And no but. And what's my responsibility? You know, and I'm talking about this only focusing on myself. I have a disease. I know that I have this disease, and there's a prescription of how to fall, you know, what to do. And it's so clear cut in the book. And what am I going to do? How am I going to continue to widen and my relationship with God? And you know, it's so, again, it's so clear cut in the book. In the big book. And I can't do this alone, because that's a very big part of my disease, is isolation. And every time I make an outreach call, it is so beautiful. On these calls, I've never met any of you, at least I think I haven't, from these vision meetings. But yet, just speaking on the phone, there is so much connection, like no other, that no one else can help me. A doctor can't help me. You know, as we know, weight loss programs can't help me. But we can help each other, and it's a we program, because we is wellness and I is isolation. So I'm so grateful to be part of this, and I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah G. And next up, we have Ashley F., and then I will take another lineup. Go ahead, Ashley.
Good morning, A Vision family. My name's Ashley F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky, and I love this paragraph. When he sees, you know, the things that I was shown when I was taken through this work in the big book, is that this is the place where I let the person who has, for whatever reason and in whatever way, has reached out, that I know about the loss of control, that I have no willpower, that I'm hopeless, that I will repeat the cycle, that I will make empty promises to myself, and I will shirk my responsibilities. And then one day I will wake up and be like, how in the world did this happen to me again? Where I was, I mean, it feels like where I was just strolling along, recovering, And I was grabbed by the back of the neck again by like this dragon or whatever. And outside of my consciousness, grabbed and ripped back and thrown back into the bottom of the pits of hell of active disease with compulsive eating. And for a while, not even knowing it, like the well-known stages of a spree, got no clue I'm even down there again, clawing and trying, you know, but before I start to try to crawl and claw and get out. And this tells me that what I do here is not necessarily share the exact details of my story, but it's important that I share this pattern that we all have if we're real compulsive overeaters of what's described in the big book on page, in the third edition, 26 and 27, and in the fourth edition, page 27 and 28, in the Roman numerals of the doctor's opinion of, you know, this pattern of utter hell that feels and looks like an infinity that, you know, I get caught in over and over and over and over of this spree, I succumb to the desire. And the truth for me is like, this is the longest period of freedom I have had from my addiction. And even in recent weeks, the mental twist, the sneakiness, and by the grace of God, I've had a sponsor today who says, like, you know, the stress got high. And it's like, Ashley, it's not a command. It's not a command to eat anymore. You know, it's not a command to start restricting. It's not a command to return to trying to control. It's a command to keep working the steps. Thank you so much. Because freedom is possible. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Ashley F. from Kentucky. All right, I'm going to take another list of names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share?
Jenna B. from Florida.
All right, someone from Florida.
Jenny. Hi, Abby, that was Vanity from Florida.
All right. Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Got you. All right, let's see here. So I got a Jenna. Missed the last initial. So Jenna.
Jennifer C.
Oh, Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer C. Got you. Okay, and then Bonnie from Florida. And then Larry K. Jen B. Not sure if that was also Jennifer C, but I heard a Jen B and then Loretta H. So let's go with that. I'll start with Jennifer C, followed by Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Abby, for your service. You sound great. And, you know, I'm so grateful for these phone meetings that I came back to OA and found Vision for You, particularly. Because here we are on a phone line, right? So you can't, the prejudice of what you weigh doesn't matter here. And I remember my first face-to-face, you know, all I did was look around and look at how big and small everybody was. And that was a hindrance for me because even though I was one of us, right, my disease was like, yeah, but you're not that bad. You're not that bad. And on this line, that part of the equation doesn't matter. We have the opportunity to hear what we do with food, what we did with food. And the reality for me is like my disease has evolved in both directions, right? So like at one point, I could relate to the compulsive overeater that would eat the food out of the trash can, right? And eat the food frozen and steal hundreds of dollars of food when the month is over, right? When all the binges are done. I could relate to stealing it and all the things that we do when we're in the grips of this horrible disease. And then over time, I could relate to the girl that was like, hey, I just can't stop grazing on my abstinent foods. Like, the obsession to eat sugar and flour has been removed, but now the obsession to eat, like, carrots and broccoli won't go away, right? Then I could relate to that girl. And it didn't matter what she weighed. All that mattered was that this disease is a monster. And until I get that entire psychic change, it doesn't matter if it's carrots or broccoli or cheesecake. It doesn't matter. Because the obsession of the mind takes me out of my life today. It takes me out of the sunlight of the spirit. What I need is God, you know. What I need is God to save me. What I need is to be present in my life with all the feelings, good and bad. So one of the things I'm so grateful for is that this disease, while it does show up in different pounds, and we all have a different experience with where it has taken us, at the end of the day, all that matters is I need relief from this obsession. I need relief from the physical cravings. I need relief from the bondage of self. I want to live in such a way, the special edition was so beautiful yesterday, I want to live in such a way where I'm just constantly asking, God, how can I be of service? How can I help? How can I help? How can I help? How can I help? That immediately takes me out of self. And it's a new way of life. And that's what I need. I don't need to lose 10 more pounds. Like, yeah, the weight comes off. It's a beautiful byproduct. But it's not the end game anymore. And I'm so grateful for that, you know? So thank you all for being here, for all of your shares. And I love you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. Next up, I have Bonnie B. from Florida, followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, Abby, good morning, and thanks, everyone, for your shares. Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on Jen. Her thoughts were really my thoughts this morning, to a large degree. So grateful. So grateful that it's not about the number on the scale. When I sponsor people, I don't want to know what they weigh. I don't ask them what they weigh. They have a nutritionist. They have a doctor, and they've got a God. I don't want to, they have a nutritionist, and they have a God. The greatest gift is coming to the understanding about what it is and, more importantly, what it's not. I do have a twofold disease. I have certain substances that when I ingest them, game over. It doesn't matter what they are. Game over. I will always identify the definition of abstinence, refraining from compulsive eating and or behaviors. And yes, it can be on carrots, right? Refraining from compulsive eating and or behaviors while working toward or maintaining an ideal body weight. And I add, as decided by a physician, nutritionist, right, and God. It doesn't isolate anything. So the identifying in isn't about what I thought it was. It wasn't about getting a food plan. It was about emotional sobriety. How do I stay tethered to my God so that I'm not yanked to and fro? Because it's not if life happens, it's when life happens. And if I can pivot very quickly, lean in and look up, and once again, anchor, right? The only time that I become restless, irritable, and discontent, or tight, or lose my peace, is when my eyes are off of my Creator, when they're on something that's eye level. Game over. But I have a solution, and the solution is to go back through the steps. And again, I'm going to echo the Sunday special edition. If you didn't listen to it, was profound and beautiful. God, how can I get out of me and be of service to other people? Therein lies the answer. And I can't do that without God, because at my core, I have a DNA that is selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and driven by thousands of forms of fear. But I have a solution, and it's simple. And this big book tells us what it is, and more importantly, it tells us what it's not. Wow, how awesome is that? So grateful beyond belief that when I chat with someone, I don't talk about the things that I used to think we talk about. I talk about the other things. I go back to page 31, and I talk about the different things I've done. This is for me is, again, once about, I mean, this for me is about helping others to identify in. Either you are or you're not, and only we can decide that. So I will pass with that. Thanks again, everyone, for the beautiful shares, and have a blessed day. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie B., thank you so much. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Jen B. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Abby. Morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago, tells us to give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Commercial diet plans, done them all, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, just teach me how to moderate. Intensive exercise. You know what I'll do? I'll train for a marathon. I'll become a marathon runner. Psychological methodologies, cognitive behavioral therapy, hypnosis, you name it. I've tried it. How about schemes involving pills and potions? You've ever done that? I certainly have. Liposuction surgeries, had one of those? I had two. It didn't work. Should have asked for my money back. You know, suck the fat out of me and the problem solved. Fat farms. Hey, I love me a farm. You know, geographic solutions. If I move to California, everyone's thin in California. Not really. Marriage and other romantic relationships. Not only will that motivate me, but it's going to be an extraordinary distraction for a lifetime. What a great way. Religious practices will save me. In other words, if wakefulness is just a brain state, then it should be possible to produce this brain state through chemical and bodily interventions. If it's a psychological state, this wakefulness state, then, you know, exercise, a psychotropic drug, bariatric surgery would be great for me. A healthy diet plan, you know, produces spiritual enlightenment. Enlightenment would work. Maybe even neurosurgery would produce the essential psychic shift. If wakefulness could be brought about by purely psychological means, then therapy would be my answer. But clearly, we're dealing with a different realm than the physical or psychological. We're dealing with the spiritual realm of existence. And to the extent that I don't get that critical distinction, then I'm going to be forever climbing a ladder that unfortunately is leaning against the wrong wall. I'll get somewhere, all right, just not to the intended destination. Grateful. With that, I pass. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Jen B., followed by Loretta H. Maybe I didn't hear a Jen B. Maybe that was actually Jennifer C., who already shared. Is there a Jen B.?
You did. I had a muting problem. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
I apologize. My name is Jen B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I, for 5 years in OA, before I became recovered, I would be really desperate and I would go to meetings and I would hear people tell their stories and I would say, yes, that's me. I'm one of you. But as soon as what kept me uncovered for 5 years was this, as soon as I heard somebody else say something different than my disease. You know, I never picked food out of the garbage, never made it to the garbage. Okay, that's why I never picked food out of the garbage. But if I heard somebody say, oh, well, not that bad. Or, oh, they were 300 pounds. Well, I never made it past 198 pounds of my 5 foot frame. So, no, I'm not that bad. So, you know, I would do this thing where I would qualify and yes, on days when I was desperate, which were 90% of the days, yeah, that's me. But as soon as I didn't want to, I don't know, I was just trying to qualify out. As soon as I heard something different, I wanted to say it wasn't me. And I did that for 5 years and I couldn't understand why I couldn't become abstinent. You know, why wasn't I at 300 pounds? It's because I was taking, you know, ADHD medication. I don't have ADHD. I was purging. I was over-exercising. And I did all of this, and I was still obese. It just got me, stopped me from tipping the scale until it didn't work. You know, the only time I got over 200 pounds was, you know, outside of pregnancy. Well, it's still a large weight for a 5 foot woman in pregnancy. And, oh, I don't need a food plan. I need to stop taking, you know, medications and hormones to lose weight. I need to stop purging. You know, I really don't need a food plan. So, you know, I was desperate when I felt like being desperate and I wanted to qualify in with you when I wanted to. But, you know, and just because I ate, and because this is it, just because I ate like a normal person for 9 months, 20 years ago, that one time I actually stuck to a diet, that doesn't mean that I can ignore the current state of my disease and try to see that, you know, I'm not that bad. So, you know, if you're listening and if you're doing what I did, please, please consider writing out your food history and reading that on a daily basis. And more importantly, write out your own first step prayer and pray to God. My first step prayer to God every day includes, you know, please help me see, concede to my inner myself that I'm a real compulsive overeater. Help me to see how binging, dieting, purging drugs, you know, diet drugs, the ADHD drugs, hormones has led to unmanageability in my life. Help me to see how relapse starts with that first little thought that my disease isn't serious. That's it right there. That first thought that my disease isn't serious.
That's
then I'm
time,
gonna go.
Jen.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to share. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Jen B. from New Jersey. And next up, we have Loretta H., and then I'll be able to take a few more names. Go ahead, Loretta. Loretta H., press star 1 to unmute. You there, Loretta? All right. Well, I will go ahead and take another few names. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. And in case you came in late, we are on page 91 in the fourth paragraph, starting with when he sees you know all about, reading through that one paragraph ending, your mental inconsistencies with some of his. So who else would like to share today?
Susan S. H.
Lynn H. from North Carolina.
Lynn H.
Joe M., Minnesota.
All right, Joe M. And one more.
Joelle B. from Illinois.
All right, and Joelle B. All right, I'll start with Susan S.H., followed by Lynn H. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, I'm now unmuted. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm recovered for today, compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here. I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but my crazy eating habits, and my reasons to quit that didn't make me quit can now be put to good use when I share that with others. The fact of identifying into the crazy eating habits talked about in meetings, it kept me coming back when I really couldn't grasp exactly what it was I needed to do. I spent a year and a half in face-to-face meetings where there was not a lot of recovery, but there was no lack of the disease. So I have at least, I grasped that because I was so ashamed about, well, I thought I was the only person quite with my eating habits and that, you know, there was really no hope for me. But I started listening to a meeting with recovery spoken of often. And I thought that perhaps if these people who talked about the same things that I had done could recover, then I could too. And eventually I got desperate enough to put my name out there and I found a sponsor. And she showed my recovery, and we worked at it together. And I am so grateful to be able to do that. I am so grateful that my dark past really is being put to use today when I share it, when I share that the people I talk to who are suffering, that they're not alone. There's help, and I'm so grateful to have found the directions and the help in the Big Book, and to have found an ongoing relationship with a higher power that I turn to every day, many times. And yeah, it's a way of life that I never imagined. So again, very grateful that that dark past is really being put to use. And yeah, I will pass with that.
All right, thank you so much. That was Susan S.H. in Ohio. And next up we have Lynn H. in North Carolina, followed by Joe M. in Minnesota. Go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn H., compulsive reader in North Carolina. Thanks for having the meeting today. Once again, I am starting back at the beginning of the Big Book with a recovered person, very grateful that someone is available to take me through. You know, the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree is I didn't think I could survive without overeating when my wife died. And so I used food for comfort. And the nature of my disease is, without picking up any allergic foods, but overeating abstinent foods. And it doesn't matter. I'm still just as crazy, still don't have the freedom that I know is possible. And I'm just so grateful to be willing today to be honest and to take direction. And one day I'll be able to share that the mental twist of my disease is just one tiny change without support leads me right back once again. I have to take step one every single day, and I love the suggestion to write a step one prayer. So thanks for that. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Lynn H. from North Carolina. And next up, we have Joe M. from Minnesota, followed by Joelle B. from Illinois. Go ahead, Joe M.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Joe, and I am a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. One of the things that I must do when I'm establishing a rapport with someone who's new is to communicate to them that I am one of them, that I am like they are. That I come from a horrible history of compulsive overeating that I could not escape from. And the reason that that's so important is that for a lot of us, and I know this is true for me, by the time I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I hadn't been hearing from other people who were like me. I had been hearing from family members, friends, professionals who were not like me, who were communicating messages either of shame, cruelty, advice giving, direction, suggestions, and they were not coming from that horrible history like I had come from. And so their words did not have any credibility. And so by the time we come to Overeaters Anonymous, and I know this is true for me, I needed to hear from people who had credibility, because unless you establish your credibility, I don't care what you have to say, unless you first establish that you are like me. So that's my job as someone in recovery, is to establish that I am just like them in that way. I don't live the same life that they do. We may have different belief systems, live in different parts of the country, or different parts of the world, different ages, etc. But that one fundamental thing that I have in common with them, I must establish that first. And only then can anything else happen between us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Joe M. from Minnesota. And next up, we have Joelle B. from Illinois. And then I might be able to take one more short share. Go ahead, Joelle.
Good morning, everybody. I am so glad that I came on the call today. I am fairly new, and I thought, you know, once I had the big book, I thought, oh, I can do this without a sponsor, but I'll tell you, the sponsors really care, and the caring is what I needed most, care about what is going on with me, what my eating is. And I thought, oh, I can do this by myself, but I couldn't. And the relationship with God is much stronger than it's ever been. And I'm so grateful that I listened to the different shares every day. Oh my goodness. I'm just like them, and I'm not alone, and I'm so grateful for that. Well, thank you, everybody. And now I have a sponsor that is wonderful, and I need the strictness of I'm just getting into a nutritionist, and I'm so happy. I have to send back the things that I need to send to her. And I thank you, everybody, and I think with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joelle B. from Illinois. We have time for one more share. Who else would like to share?
Alexis F.
All right, Alexis F., go right ahead.
The strange mental twist has taken me to a lot of bad places. On vacation, it was I could have one slice or one round thing, just one piece or just one spoonful or any little bits, and it always took me back to disaster where I would binge on it again, or one of these or one of that. And I had to surrender my alcoholic foods very slowly. The first one was 9.5 years ago. The second one was about 7-8 years ago. The third one was about 5 years ago. And the last one was about 16.5 years ago. The order that they came. I came into this program 49 years ago, and it wasn't anything like it is today. It's nothing like Vision. It was 2-hour meetings with an intermission in between where you could get, you know, like your diet soda and your coffee and tea. And today in Vision, you know, everybody's talking about God, and it makes me feel so much better because I prayed a lot before I gave these things up. And They came off very gradually, but they actually did slide away. The scales of this disease fell from my eyes. And coming here, it's so good to hear all of you talk about the nature of the disease and not the abstinence. It means a lot to me. I got my food plan from a nutritionist, and it's the best abstinence I've ever had. It suits my needs, it suits my body chemistry, and it was a nutritionist for compulsive overeaters. It suits my, you know, everything about me. And I have no, complete neutrality when it comes to food. I'm satisfied. I'm not under-eating. I'm not overeating.
Next time, Alexis.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. So I don't have the share ID. Can someone please unmute and let us know the share ID for today, Monday, April 21st, 2025? I got a new phone, and for some reason I'm not getting the text, so I don't know if someone texted me that. Does anybody have the share ID for today?
Abby, this is Kelly. I have it.
Oh, okay, yes. Can you go ahead and share that?
Yeah, it's 22362. 22362.
Thank you so much. All right, that is 22362 for today's meeting, Monday, April 21st, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until keep you until then.
Thanks, Abby. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until